Greetings and God bless you, my friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Wow Factor, the word of wisdom designed to inspire, empower, and enlighten you in just a few short minutes at a time. My name is D.L. Wallace, and I am elated to be the host of this day's call, where our motto is simple: your soul will be blessed in 8 minutes or less. Our request is simple as well. Send this podcast to your coworkers, your neighbors, your loved ones, and friends so they can have some inspiration to make it through the course of their day. Let's jump right into our topic today, my friends, and that topic is simply pre-approved. Pre-approved. Now, we've all gotten letters in the mail from credit card companies, mortgage companies, automobile dealerships, you name it, all notifying us that we've been pre-approved. The letters will tell us that all we've got to do is turn in a little bit of information on ourselves and submit it back, and then we can officially be approved and buy what we want to buy and do what we want to do. Well, the pre-approval process is a popular one in marketing. It's a great tool for these organizations to use. It also has a relevance in our spiritual lives because there are many Christians around the world that do not know they've been pre-approved. Pre-approved to succeed, pre-approved to excel, pre-approved to advance, pre-approved to prosper. Pre-approved to thrive. Yes, my friends and neighbors, you and I have all been pre-approved by God. Remember, the Bible says in Ephesians 1 and 11 that we've been predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. Then we discover in Ephesians 1 and 4 that God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. That means, my friends and neighbors, that we've all been pre-approved. Yes, and there are just a few key components that we've got to employ in order to take advantage of our pre-approval for success. And it's going to be found in our pre-acronym. However, we're only going to talk about the first one today. That P in our pre-acronym reminds us of the importance of changing our perceptions. Yes, my friends and neighbors, there has been a vicious lie circulated for years that says perception is reality. Well, perception is not reality. It's just your reality at that moment. Yes, my friends and neighbors, when we embrace the truth about ourselves, then we can change those false perceptions and embrace new realities. See, the perception may be that we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, and we can't make it, and we don't know how, and we don't know where, and all these other things. But here's the truth. The Bible tells us we're already good enough, already smart enough, already courageous enough. You see, we've got what we need on the inside, and oftentimes we don't recognize it, and we don't put it out. Remember that old story of the Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Cowardly Lion all believed that they could only be cured by finding the wizard. And when in reality they discovered that they had all they need from the beginning, that the limitations were only in their minds. Isn't it amazing, my friends, that sometimes the limitations we have are only between our ears because the Word of God doesn't limit us. Remember, we are described as more than conquerors in Romans 8:37. We're invited to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6:11. We are given the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the love of Christ and shall not be separated from it as outlined in Romans 8 and 35. So my friends and neighbors, I challenge you to change the perception that we don't have enough and we can't do enough. And no. The reality is we've got all we need in Christ. You see, back in the old days in Greek mythology, the Greeks worshiped several gods. They worshiped the moon god, a sun god, a wind god, a rain god, and the list goes on and on. However, one wise philosopher said that when the people stop believing in those fake gods, they'll drastically disappear. And yes, my friends and neighbors, it happened. Because when they called on the moon god and he only showed up at night and would never show up in the day, they knew there was a problem. When they called on the sun god at nighttime, he was nowhere to be found. The wind god did never help them when there was a blazing fire ramping through the forest. And then the rain god never showed up in a time of drought. Over time, the Greeks became aware that they were worshiping a false god. And because they did, they stopped believing in the myth. And those people now, those fake gods, just became statues that are talked about in folklore. Well, isn't it great to know, my friends and neighbors, that we have a God that is there when we need Him? We've got a God that lives on the inside of us. And yes, we can put those fears to bed. You see, fears are like those fake gods. If we stop believing in them, they disappear. Remember, the Bible says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Why? But perfect love casts out fear. fear. Yes, my friends and neighbors, when we're basking in the perfect love of God, there's nothing that can make us afraid. So we've got to start believing in the best versions of ourselves. How do we do this? How do we believe in the best of us? Let me give you 3 key points. First, we have to cancel self-criticism. No more bashing ourselves. On the internet, if you're talking about somebody negatively and bashing them, they call it bullying. And if you talk badly enough, they even call it a hate crime. Well, think about what it is when someone is talking about themselves. It's just as detrimental. Imagine if you saw 2 people walking down the street and one person was berating another, talking about how unattractive, unintelligent, uninspired, and uninformed and overweight they were. You'd be so upset that you'd be tempted to intervene in that conversation. But think about it. When you look in the mirror, what are you saying to you? Are you putting yourself down like Jeremiah did in Jeremiah chapter 1 when he told God, God, I'm just a child? Are you putting yourself down like Moses did when he said, Lord, but what about this stutter that I've got? I can't communicate. See, God has already made provisions for us and he is our equalizer. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that we have been made the righteousness of God in him. So we got to stop self-criticism. Next, we got to speak of who we really are. Do you know who we are, my friends? Galatians 3:26 says we're children of God. We should speak of who we really are. Romans 8:11 says the spirit of him that raised Jesus up from the dead dwells on the inside of us. Are you talking to people about who you really are? I say speak of who you really are, not who your friends say you might be, not who your family say you used to be, not who your enemies say you ought to be, but talk about who we really are. Jesus said it from the beginning. He says that he is the Son of Man. He never backed down when they said, are you saying you're the Son of God? He said, you said it right. You said it better than I could. He never denied who he really was. Let's do the same thing. And finally, my friends, let's be ecstatic about our advantage. Don't you recognize we have an advantage in Christ? Remember, the Bible says in Psalms 121:1, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. It goes on to outline. He says, my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Yes, my friends and neighbors, my help comes from the one who put the trees in place and the oceans in place and the earth on its axis to rotate around the sun. We all have the ability, yes, indeed, to embrace and be ecstatic about our advantage. That's all the time of yours I'm going to take today. Until we talk again on tomorrow, God bless you, God bless your families, and embrace the new and improving you.